wolf on the hill is never as hungry as the wolf climbing the hill.
Lone wolf is a term commonly used by many people. It means that they used to belong to a group, but left, to become stronger. By thinking and acting alone, the lone wolf acquires superior cunning, agility, imagination and skills unknown to members of the pack. The lone wolf is independent of and distances itself from the petty bickerings, expectations, demands, mediocrities and unfulfilled dreams of other people, groups or organizations. The lone wolf is often branded as the rebel.
For it is the sovereign lone wolf who stands alone in all of his or her glory. You are listening to Lone Wolf Radio, presented and hosted by Tom Metzger. Tom is now broadcasting from a newly relocated and improved bunker in an undisclosed location with internet access across the globe. So sit back, relax, and enjoy another episode on Lone Wolf Radio.
And to assist individually in the struggle, you can send your donations, cash, check, or money order to Tom Metzger, 1281 North State Street, Suite A, Box 114, San Jacinto, SanJacinto, California, 92583. And we'll put it to good work for you. And Terrible Tommy is here in the bunker, right here, spry as ever. And it's the 15th of May 2017, all day long. How about that? I hear we've got an eclipse coming up pretty soon. I didn't catch what day and what month, but it's coming up. Eclipse of the sun. That's the old father's sun, the only real god we should have. If you're going to have a god, let it be the sun. You can call it the son of God. How about that? Do you know that 400 people a day die in India on the highways? That's hundreds of thousands a year because of bad highways. So if you're complaining about your highways here, you could live in India, you know. You're relatively safe if you can climb on top of one of those train cars with 500 other people, unless they wreck, and they do wreck a lot, those trains in India. So there you go. Thank your lucky stars, boys and girls. I heard Trump today giving a speech saying how much he loved the Mexicans and he wants them to become cops and so forth. I don't care if they impeach this bastard. He's flim-flamming and switching around, and he does lie and so forth. I see Hillary's going to start up a new political outfit. That's funny. But she'll be successful and she'll make lots of money. That's for sure. But don't keep riding along with Trump. He has not got one true racist value in his body. Yeah. I know that makes some of you probably pissed off, but I'm sorry. Oop, I got a problem here. I guess it's the Trumpers out to get me. Anything I can't stand anymore, it's a conservative. And that's all David Duke has become. He pledges to oppose any new tax increase. Well, that just kissing ass. Do you mean for the 1% that control most of the wealth in this country? You don't want new taxes? He wants to toss the able-bodied off of welfare. That's something it would be interesting to look into. Well, if they're on welfare because they don't have a job, and the most people on welfare in this country are white people, David, if they don't have a job, what are they going to do? How are they going to survive? And stop payments to drug users and freeze benefits to welfare mothers who keep having children. Well, there should be ways of slowing that process down, but these are just Republican bullshit talking points that they go on about. They don't talk about race. They don't have the balls to say race. They talk about white supremacy. I'm so sick and tired of hearing white supremacy. I'm just about to say, hell yes, I'm a goddamn white supremacist, and I'll always be, and I always was. Well, maybe I wasn't always, but I'm getting to where I like the term because of all the people who hate it. Duke favors tougher penalties for crime. Jesus Christ. White guys out trying to make a living. Get in trouble. We're talking about a poor population and growing poorer all the time. And to talk like that, you're talking like the upper class there, David. Well, he says here, to penalties for crime and to end unjust affirmative action. Well, of course, that was always bullshit, but this is stuff the Republicans have been playing with for a long time just to get your vote. All reverse discrimination. Well, good luck with that. Whether quotas or racial set-asides. He opposes gun control. Big deal. Big shock. Big surprise. Wants the United States to halt illegal immigration and would slash foreign aid. That's what Pat Buchanan quoted Duke as saying back in 1991. I get so tired of this bullshit nothingness that's going on with the right wing and all their little popes that I could puke. I'm telling you, they're running around and most of them are making money. Yeah, all these right wing pseudo racists are running around, they're making money. Yeah, well, I've seen them all come and go, from the Cardos to many others. They made a lot of money in the right wing. They used race to help them make it too. But did they actually make any change at all in what's going on? That's a good question. This battle's not going to be won by soft talk and Republican bullshit. It's going to be won by blood, sweat, and tears and destruction and everything. Yeah. Sorry, boys. I know. I'm the old bastard. But that's the truth. I'm going to try to always tell you the truth. And will the truth set you free? No. Truth never set anybody free. But truth and a 45 automatic help get some people free, or an AR-15. But truth alone don't free anybody. There are millions of white people in this country that do know the truth, but they're too cowardly to do anything about it. They're too afraid to offend the local minister, the local mayor, or their wife, or their kid. Some progressive asshole that just put out a big thing about white supremacy, and it goes on for pages. In the first part of this series, I focused on some of the history of white supremacy, particularly its late 20th century versions, which continue to have so much influence today upon the current alt-right movement. Alt-right? Well, I'm not a part of the alt-right. It's important to understand this history. Oh, here's a genius. Some of which enters into truly exotic terrain to understand the continuity of ideas and to realize that we are not facing anything really new in the current manifestation of white supremacy. But there's more mundane side of white supremacy, which deserves to be studied with as much attention the way in which white supremacy works in through the institutions that we otherwise think of legitimate to the core and even essential to the workings of liberal democracy. When they're talking about the institutions, you're talking about institutions run by the rich, not institutions run by the poor or the working class. So you're not talking about me. I don't run institutions. It's the filthy rich bastards that are ripping you off. Predatory capitalism and so forth. Very clever the way the ruling class are able to lump us in with the upper class. It's very interesting how they do that. You know, it's all white people. You did it to the Negroes. All white people didn't do anything to the Negroes. A small percentage of agrarian capitalists did things to the Negroes. But when it comes down to paying the Negroes off, oh yeah, you were in on it. Yeah, you let it happen. Yeah, right. We had the armies on our side, you know. If we'd done like we wanted to do, we'd have shipped them all out right away, at least after the Civil War. Every last swinging dick would have been on a boat. And they probably, sooner or later, would have thanked us for it. So who's the real racist here? The people, white people who want to ship them back to Africa or wherever the hell they want to go? Or the ones that want to keep them here in quasi-slave labor and competing with the white labor force? But there's a more mundane side of white supremacy which deserves to be studied with as much attention, the way in which white supremacy works in and through the institutions, right? I've read that before. That we otherwise think of it as legitimate to the core because it's run by the rich and even essential to the workings of liberal democracy. Fuck liberal democracy. I hate democracy. It's the worst form of government, especially liberal democracy. If we explore how this has occurred recently, then we can no longer push white supremacy aside as an ideology that can be prevented from infecting so-called mainstream institutions. I love these guys, the way they throw these words around. I'm thinking primarily of political parties. Well, we don't control political parties. The white working class, the poor, we don't control the political parties, neither do the blacks. But once we admit that white supremacy is a fundamental influence on how parties reinvent and calibrate themselves, then this necessarily sweeps the social organism as a whole into the indictment. Well, they do that. Look at the Republicans and the Southern strategy. It had nothing to do with really going to bat for the white race. They didn't stop all that civil rights bullshit. The Southern strategy was just to take the racial element out of the Democrat Party and then water it down in the Republican Party. That's all that was about. Yeah, the Southern strategy, yeah. It was a strategy to even further fuck the white people. It was one of Ronnie Reagan. He was right into that stuff. Well, he liked that, old Ronnie Reagan. guy that still most of the so-called conservatives, which they're not in this country, worship, goddamn Ronald Reagan. They never really know what these people are really like Trump. The people don't know what he's like. They don't know what he's done in the past. They don't know what he stands for now because he's wishy-washy. He wants to get into more war. Let's bomb North Korea. Why? What purpose does it serve? Oh, he's going to attack the United States? Jesus Christ, give me a break. I wouldn't mind if he wanted to go down there and invade South Korea and take every dime they had because it was American capitalists who built up South Korea. That's what it was all set up in the beginning. The whole goddamn Korean War where all our guys, hundreds and maybe thousands of our guys died and even incurred the wrath of the Chinese. Yeah, it was all about splitting the country in two and then milking the one end and making it a big corporate staging area. So what do I care? If North Korea wants South Korea, good. Take it if you can. Probably even if China wants to take the son of a bitch because it's nothing but a capitalist hangout and a moneymaker. Oh no, we got to send troops over there. We got to send missile defense systems to South Korea to defend them. You don't want to defend them. They're the ones that they're robbing you and they're making all the money. They built a tremendous business head and society there in South Korea on your back, white man, on your back, and you fought for it. You fought to establish it. And now they want you to go back and fight for it again. One of these days, these damn big boys and capitalists are going to go one step too far. And then some country like China is just going to beat the shit out of them. And they're not going to know what happened to them. I don't know whether that's going to happen or how soon it's going to happen or if it's going to happen. But they played Russian roulette all the time. I think they got all the balls in their favor. Well, every once in a while, a fighter around the world shows them different. You know? Look at Castro. No matter what an asshole he was a true revolutionary and a true guerrilla warfare man. His whole idea was to bring down Batista, who was a corrupt bastard. The General Telephone used to give him presents like a solid gold telephone, you know, things like that. There are true revolutionaries in this world. And once in a while, one of them breaks through the wall. And I love it when they do it. I'm not even that upset with ISIS, to be perfectly honest. I think I've said that before. Whatever they're fighting for, it's theirs they want to fight for. To hell, if they win, fine. I don't give a shit. I'm not a Muslim, and I don't support the Muslims. I don't support any religion. But I wouldn't send my son over there to waste 1 ounce of blood in the Middle East. That's all economic. Follow the money. It's all making money. And if it's not oil, it's something else. You see, Trump's going on his first visit overseas. Where's he going? Israel first. Yeah, to get his orders. Then he's going to go to Saudi Arabia. And I forget the other country he was going to, but they're all part of the plan, the part of the plan. So, you see, but you keep thinking, these people out there keep thinking, well, we're going to vote ourselves out of that. Voting is a total scam. It always has been, no matter how far you go back. Even in the first part of this country. Look, these founding fathers, they were out to make some money. They were all accumulating money and power. They did take a gamble, that's for sure. but their beloved Constitution isn't worth the paper it's written on now. I don't think it ever was, because they disobeyed the Constitution immediately after the ink was not even dry, and they were disobeying the Constitution, and they were making treaty law, which treaty law abrogates anything else. Yeah. The Founding Fathers. George Washington married rich. Most of the guys that became big shots in the government married rich women, like today, like Keating, Keating married into the Ketchup fortune, and that idiot senator from Arizona, he married into a rich woman, part of a big brewing company in Arizona. They all do that. They don't have to work. They don't have to punch a clock. But they can tell you that you better get in there and punch a clock or you're through. White supremacy implies a certain logic that is inimical to that of the Enlightenment, the foundation of modern fucked up democracy. You know, democracy in the modern times got its big push in France. You see how France has never survived democracy. Yeah. They got a new president, and they're already saying, well, what's he going to do? He's not saying anything different than anybody else, and we still got lots of problems. They were better under de Gaulle as an authority figure, authoritarian. I mean, I'm not saying he was a good guy, but he got things done. It is no coincidence that much of contemporary white supremacy continues to focus on the Illuminati and the Freemasons as the disseminators of secular humanism, or that conspiracy theory mines the same territory when it takes on the protocols of the Elder Design. I say forget all that shit. We know that stuff. God, we've been studying it for ages, decades. Well, there were a lot of conspirators in these outfits, but today is something new. It's different. It's new times. Forget all that old shit that the right wing keep peddling. You're not going to sell that to anybody. A worldwide conspiracy to bring down godless materialism. Well, what's wrong with godless materialism? Materialism is good. You want your family to have things as much as possible. You want your family to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. And so what? Godless, you know, godless. Yeah, right. Like if you don't worship the capitalist god that you're evil, because he's not there, boys and girls. There's no spooks in the sky. Just forget it. Ben told you that a long time ago, and I'm telling you that. Quit worshiping spooks in the sky. But materialism for white working people is good. I mean, we want you to have all kinds of stuff. Or such obsession with the Bilderberger group. Well, they're all crooks. I mean, of course they're crooks. The Trilateral Commission, they're crooks. The Council on Foreign Relations, they're crooks. And the rest of the institutions associated with the New World Order. Well, now that we know that, and we've known that for 100 years, why don't you kill them? What are you going to do about it? You just whine about it on year after year after year. That's why I say I have more respect for ISIS than people like that. They just go in and do a number. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't talk about these outfits forever. You got to do something. Against the Enlightenment, which is said to lead to the weakening of the nation and as the embodiment of the pure idea of race. I don't hear anybody talking like that nowadays except a few like myself and others. The white supremacist insists on separation of the races as his natural right. That's the main thing. The absolute main thing. Against mongrelization, race mixing. The white supremacist desired purity. Well, you can't ever have purity. I never said that. But you can hope for it. You can work for it, and you can try to protect it, if there's any around, that is. When you look around the United States today, purity? Are you kidding me? Ellie goes on to say, this would not be so worrisome if it were a fringe notion, but has the logic of white supremacy become the predominant American value system? I hope so. I hope. If this is the case, then to identify and persecute secret fringe groups is not only a waste of time, but counterproductive. Well, that's true. Picking on people like me and people like believe like we do, since it ignores the larger problem of the thought process that has taken over the way we conduct business publicly. Now, that's business, you should say, the way we think publicly. Conduct business, that's a separate deal. That's the big boys, the ruling class. That's the people who conduct business. A critique of the conspiracists with their usual aforementioned targets of the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, and so on. Well, they're all together. It's all one thing, corruption and criminals. I mean, they're not separate. They're all one thing, all passing under the rubric of the New World Order, which George Bush Jr.'s daddy was so in love with that, orchestrated by the Zionist occupational government. Well, that's true to a degree, but the Zionists couldn't pull it off by themselves. They need a lot of help. Was merged into too much with the mainstream populist critique of the globalist elites for us to treat conspiracy theory as a separate entity. It's not a conspiracy theory. The rottenness and the corruption of the globalist elites is absolutely hard rock true. It's not a conspiracy theory. Michael Barkin, one of the leading scholars of religion in the far right, whatever that is, calls the kinds of knowledge that conspiracy theory traffics in stigmatized knowledge. Oh, you're so smart. Among the kinds of stigmatized knowledge, he includes forgotten, supersedes, ignored, rejected, and suppressed knowledge. Well, that's true. Much of the time, conspiracy theorists are trying to bring to the fore these kinds of knowledge, which for Trump supporters, the peddlers of fake news are said not to be interested in treating seriously. No, they don't want to treat it seriously, but you got two sides of two enemies there with the media and with the people in Washington. They're two sides to the same body, the two arms on the same rotten body. They're both fighting us. They're both trying to keep us down. Yet I would argue that the broader culture has become, let's see here, so invested in its own conspiracy theories that the knowledge the extreme right owns and disseminates as stigmatized knowledge is easily disseminated, assimilated in regular channels in a culture of general irrationality. There cannot be oppositional culture of irrationality. Boy, this guy uses a lot of big words, doesn't he? He could say it a lot simpler. The cult of irrationality. I guess that's to keep people who don't have much of an education out of the argument. Is the left any less immune to paranoia and hysteria than the right? The mania for its physical perfection, the aversion to the reality of aging and death, the belief in a kind of identity politics that hinges on deliberate avoidance of the structural foundations of empire, the prevalence of narcissistic confessionalist expression in all the arts and creative endeavors, the constant self-justification in the form of demonizing various deplorables, that's you and me. All these urges seem to me typical of irrational, anti-enlightenment, conspiratorial mindset of what we might call the contemporary alternate left or alt-left. I will elaborate on my concept of the alt-left in a future essay, but to the extent that the underlying structures of white supremacy, which actually benefit the meritocracy, neoliberal elite. Boy, this guy, he throws these words around, man, are not part of the alt-left's critique. These structures are left alone to fester and to thrive and to become more important than they need to be, of which I say we have more to gain by some types of dealings with the left, the alt-left. I know it seems impossible, but I really think we in one way we have more in common with the left than we do the right, or at least the rich white. The difference from the alt-right is that the alt-left can claim cultural legitimacy for its forms of conspiracy, one of whose main targets is, ironically, white supremacy. Yeah, they're attacking us. They should be attacking the elite. They do, but not seriously. Some scholars think that the conspiracy theory inevitably leads to racism. Well, I hope so. The link between the conspiracy and the white supremacy is predictable, they believe. But if this is true, then why shouldn't it apply to the conspiracy theory on the left? Good question. Under neoliberalism, which separates the personal from the political, the alt-left has operated along the same basic philosophical continuum as the alt-right. The last election, in my view, was contested between two forms of irrationality, the alt-right and the alt-left. Well, maybe it was two forms of rationality, but neither side wanted to admit it. There was a lot of rationality on both the right and the left, but not enough. The two Pats, Robertson and Buchanan, show the way to normalize white supremacy, but perhaps not in a way you might think. Let's take Pat Robertson first. In September 1991, he published the book New World Order, propagating his fears of a one-world government under the centralized authority. Well, you've got it now. It's called capitalism. That's what the one world is, one-world economic capitalism. It's here. It's been here a long time, writing a new foreword in his book. Robertson noted that the coup that had attempted to overthrow Mikhail Gorbachev in Russia was a stage-managed affair. Well, they all are. All these kind of things are stage-managed. A harbinger of a great turmoil in coming decades because of the excessive power of the elites this coup revealed. Yeah. That's why you got to drag them out in the open in the sunshine where people can see them. That's what the internet is doing. The internet has done a lot of good. A lot of good. There must be world government, a world police force, world courts, world banking and currency, and a world elite in charge. Well, that's mostly true now. This probably meant the end of Christianity. Oh my God! Oh! Robertson, with such views, competed in the 1998 Republican primaries and remained a mainstream political force all through the 90s. The question that arises is why those with similar, though more radical views, such as Francis Parker Yockey, author of The Fascist Tract Imperium — it's not a tract, it was a 400-page book — or George Lincoln Rockwell, founder of the American Nazi Party, who wanted to take it to the streets, could not dream of contending for the leadership of a major political party. They wouldn't want to. Who would want to? You'd be absorbed like quicksand into the sludge, into the swamp in the 50s and 60s. Robertson did get in trouble for relying on anti-Semitic sources such as Nesta Webster. Nesta Webster was genius. I have her books about the French Revolution. Nesta Webster was a great writer and a great person and a true white person, and sought to preserve his innocence against such charges. But much of its critique is removed from racism, turns into something the conventional left of the time could have bought into. Well, at one time, the racist cause was involved with the left. strongly. Yeah. And populism and so forth. White workers, white farmers, and so forth. Like I've told you before, if you'll study the history of the Klan worked with the socialists in the northern Midwest, Wisconsin, and so forth, even helped them elect mayors in the big cities. So they had something going there, but they let go of it because the Republican types took over the Klan and screwed it up. Whereas Robertson believed in the first Gulf War was orchestrated in order for the nations of the world to forget for a time their own claims of sovereignty, in order to submerge their interests into that of a worldwide authority such as the United Nations. United Nations? Huh. I remember fighting the United Nations way back in the 60s and 70s. Get us out of the United Nations. Remember that? Get us out of the goddamn United Nations. Well, what did they do to get us out of the United Nations? It never got physical. Never got physical. The left need only replace the word United Nations with the United States for a conspiracy to fuse. That's true. It's never been the United Nations. The United Nations was always a scam. Just like the Nuremberg trials were a scam. Because the Nuremberg laws, the results of the Nuremberg trials are still there and it should be still being used. All these politicians that are bombing and occupying other countries and killing thousands, millions of people, they should be exterminated as per the Nuremberg trials. Here is someone we would think as an archetypical Christian white supremacist uttering such thoughts as, during colonialism, the wealth of the colonies was used for the benefit of mother country. Well, that's true. That's true, because survival of the fittest. That's white supremacy. But now with this international, what's it, ITT or PTT or whatever that is, they got all these countries to sign on to it. Now, some of the Western countries are wishing they hadn't, because they expected some lawsuits from these emerging countries that had gained their independence, but they didn't expect the floodgates to roll in. Lawsuits by the thousands are being filed against these corporations now. Now, what are they going to do? The white plantation owners, the white traders, the businessmen. Updating this to modern times, Robertson observes that the United States is not anxious to have Zaire become a net exporter of agricultural products in competition with its own farmers. Of course not. Of course not. But you got to give Zaire some free fairness too. You see, they don't want to ever treat these countries or anybody right. They want to bleed and rob everybody all the time, and they want it all. See, that's the problem with capitalism. Basic trade and all that is fine. But they want everything. They want it all. They want it right down to your underwear, and they'll take your jock strap too. And the Republicans keep supporting that idea, and the Democrats, you know, to their favor, the true Democrats, not these assholes with millions of dollars. There's some people want to give them a break, these emerging countries, because if you don't, you're going to have guerrilla warfare all into the future. And Uncle Sam is so greedy to make money that he'll give these weapons to the countries and trade them for goodies, and then they'll go out and have revolution after revolution. They're burning Africa alive. It's capitalism that's destroying Africa. Not my kind of white supremacy. Not my kind. When Robertson expresses his concept at the central core as a belief in the superiority of the establishment's own skill to form a world system in which enlightened monopolistic capitalism can bring all of the diverse currencies, banking systems, credit, manufacturing, and law materials into one government. Oh, that's a happy day. Yeah, that is happy day. Let's see here. Eyes whole policed, of course, by their world army. Well, that's what it's becoming. I see now that the military is recruiting like mad in the high schools and so forth, and I see the pictures of the kids he's recruiting. They're all non-white, almost all non-white. The American Army will soon be all non-white, and other branches too. That's what they want, and then they can take these non-whites and brainwash them the way they want. Yeah. These armies would occupy style activists take much issue with this worry about what is in essence the 1%. Talking about the 1% at the top. Well, you should worry about the 1% at the top because they're controlling the bucks. Period. Most of the bucks in this country. For Pat Buchanan, too, the idea of the forgotten middle class has been a convenient receptacle for aspects of white supremacy that seem palatable enough for electoral politics. Well, Pat doesn't tell you that the reason we have a middle class in this country is because we smashed the countries of Europe, Germany and all of them. We smashed them, destroyed most of their factories and so forth. And like in the First World War, France was robbing Germany after the war of all their equipment and factories and taking them to France. But anyhow, after World War II, we did that to all these European countries, which allowed us to get a leg up on everything in manufacturing, which we created the middle class. Without World War II, there would not have been a middle class of any size at all. But the average person doesn't realize that. They think that we got there by just working hard. Well, you worked hard, but you didn't create the middle class. A central bank for Robinson, for Buchanan, or for Ron Paul is an institute of tyranny by which the traditional freedoms of the people are gradually taken away. Do you think these guys really care about your freedoms? Well, try to sell your house to a white person and tell the black person to go down the road, and you'll see how free you are. The late 20th and early 21st century white supremacists seem to have been articulating a vision of the world that is obsessively money-centric. Well, we do. That's what it is. It always was. Where the hell you been, buddy? You intelligent guy from college with the B words. Power is always hidden, but it has gone behind more impenetrable screens in its postmodern manifesto. That's bullshit. It's right out in the open. It's in the mag. Read the Fortune 500. It's all free to Wall Street Journal. Anything you want to know really about who the criminals are is right out there in the open. Just like the bad Jews as opposed to the good Jews. You can learn all you want about the bad Jews, even other Jews write about it. So that science, academia, and government authority in all its forms are suspect. Of course. Power systems must always be suspect. You can't ever rely on power systems to be honest. The only way is like when I told on a radio back in 1963, I think it was. I was on a radio show in San Diego. I said the only way to keep these politicians honest is every time you send one to Sacramento, you send a guard with him with a gun and stand beside him and be beside him all the time. And if he goes off the rails, you take care of him. That's the only way you'll ever keep a politician honest. Or if you do have an honest one once in a while, they're going to destroy him and smash him. You've seen that happen. If there are false messiahs to be exposed, then logic suggests that the real messiah must be discovered. You know, we've got a new messiah now. I don't believe in messiahs or leaders that I worship or pray to at all. None of them, both right and left, share in this form of spirituality where the grand design of the elites is defeated by forms of anarchism, recognizing our organic interdependencies. To the alt-right, this recognition entails racial separation. To the alt-left, identity politics, another form of racial separation. Well, if it works out that way, that's good. So maybe we do have something to gain by breaking bread with the left. We sure as hell ain't getting anywhere with the right. Other than getting more stupid. Buchanan's detailed intellectual foray, The Great Betrayal, how American sovereignty and social justice are being sacrificed to the gods of the global economy. Well, I don't see him giving up any of his Cadillacs. I've often sort of kidded around about Buchanan. That's why I followed him down to the border back when he ran for president. Yelled at Pat, "Hey, Pat! You know they're not going to do it. Republican Party, you can't get elected, because if you did, the Republican Party wouldn't do a damn thing about illegal aliens." And his people were all yelling at me, "You're going to hurt him. You're going to hurt his campaign." I said, "He don't have a campaign. He's just stalking horse for the Republican Party. He's just trying to keep you working class people involved in the Republican Party. He don't give a shit." They didn't like me. You know, there's a lot of people out there in politics that don't like me. Maybe that's why the Democrat Party in Warsaw, Indiana, when I was going to go there to see what they're doing, they moved the whole meeting to another building secretly where I couldn't find them. And then when I went to the Republican meeting to see what they're up to, they just totally kicked me out. So I don't do too well with these people. Okay, let's see here. Is his explanation of the two Americas. Well, Buchanan's a wealthy man. He got started writing speeches for the crook Nixon. Are you kidding? He wasn't a conservative back then. He was a Nixonite. And he's been there. I don't think he's ever left Washington. I think he lives in Washington. Big house, big car, all that. He's on TV all the time. Once in a while he says something about, "We got to worry about the West. The West is going to disappear." Well, instead of saying white, he says the West. I don't care about the West. I care about the white race. Second wave America, a land of middle class anxiety, downsized hopes, and vanished dreams, where the economic insecurity is a pre-existing condition of life, and the company towns become ghost towns overnight. Well, you ought to know, you goddamn Republicans, you're the ones that promoted shipping the jobs out of the country as your National Chamber of Commerce that couldn't get them out of the country fast enough. When a Republican says he worries about why people are out of work, I can get sick in my stomach. Because the big shot Republicans, not just the big shot Republicans, Democrats too, but mostly the Republicans, I have this Look magazine, I still got it, shows Nixon over there in 76, way back in the 70s in China, going over to kiss the ass of the Chinese, communists, while we still had guys in prison camps over there in Asia. Yeah, he was over there kissing the ass of the Chinese, and then they planned to ship jobs to China, and a couple of manufacturers like Jeep went over there and they got their tit caught in the rigger because Chinese wouldn't buy an expensive Jeep car even though it was superior. They copied it and made a cheap version of the Jeep that fell apart, but they sold millions of them in China. and the regular Jeep lost their ass and came back to the United States. We should have made that a regular event where anybody going over there. In fact, I used to promote, and I still promote, revolutions. Great. Anything that'll burn down the plants of these capitalists in other countries to where they have to come back home and hire Americans, that's good. But most of the right wing say, oh, we got to get join the army and go fight those people, those revolutionaries that are mostly starving people trying to get someplace, trying to get a meal. Yeah. Why would you want to go over there like in Vietnam and be the tool of the robbers killing millions of people in Vietnam just so they could build Intel plants in Vietnam? White supremacy enters the picture of the Buchanan because he thinks we did it ourselves. Our elites destroyed our standard of living by committing to a global agenda, bringing about the division between second and third wave America, and opening up our borders to immigrants and unfair trade, thus ending white supremacy, which in paleoconservative circles can go by the designation of Western civilization. It's interesting to me the way he terms white supremacy. The way he lines up white supremacy is quite different than I do. NAFTA, that was wonderful, wasn't it? that was really going to help the American white workers. That was going to help the white workers, man. NAFTA. It not only has destroyed the white worker, it's destroyed the Mexican worker, too. Again, the connection between the central bank's legitimate power and the destruction of our way of life by way of the age-old master plan working its way from the Illuminati to the Trilateral Commission. Well, you can laugh all you want to, but there are elements in all of those organizations that are traitors and certainly not the friend of the white people. They're only the friend of the very elite white people, and they're not our friend at all. They're our worst enemy. The most charitable explanation for Buchanan as a crucial forerunner of Trump we can come up with is that he deploys white supremacy as a subsidiary appeal in his fight against the plot to undermine America's national sovereignty. Well, if Donald Trump is a white supremacist, what the fuck am I? He's no more a white supremacist than he's a rich supremacist. You know, he's a billionaire supremacist. What does a billionaire need to do with race? Let's bring Ann Coulter and Michael Savage into the picture. Ann Coulter is probably fixed in the left liberal imagination as an unabashed white supremacist, since she has openly expressed support for genocidal strategies and tactics. I think I debated her once. She was a total asshole. She has argued that we should invade their Muslim countries, kill their leaders, convert them to Christianity. Well, please don't do that. Yet I would argue that Coulter can be seen as more of a populist who has admittedly used forms of white supremacy when necessary to buttress her argument. Yeah, they play around with the white racial thing, but they don't mean it. If they really meant it, they'd do something important about it, which betrays the. Instead of just blabbing about it all the time, blabbing, we gotta help the people. I mean, black people too. All people. We gotta protect all people. No, not all people. Same concerns about the hidden sources of power that more conventional white supremacists such as Yaki, good man. Rockwell, good man. Willis Cardo, partly a good man. And others exhibited throughout the second half of the 20th century. Except Cardo and Pierce, they were more aligned with the wealthy class. They made it no secret that they were out to recruit the elite. And I kept telling them, the elite is rotten. You're never going to get anywhere with the elite. They've been bought off. the generals and all that. I sit down with these damn generals. I sit down with two of them at least. Well-known generals. They lived in Fallbrook, California. And they didn't have the balls to do anything. They said, if I got into this, I'd lose my pension. I said, well, you're liable to lose your life and your property and everything else. Oh, no. I can't be involved with your stuff. I agree with you, but I'll never be involved with it. That's when you go to the big shots, they get more cowardly as you get to the top. And when you get to the very top, they are absolute chicken shit. Coulter's 2011 book, Demonic, How the Liberal Mob is Endangering America. Not all of them. I know some pretty smart liberals that are pretty honest. We may disagree on the race issue, but we do agree on a lot of things, more than the Republicans. For instance, demonizes liberals more than any other group. Well, fake liberals, yeah. The country's full of fake liberals. If you mean a real liberal, I don't know whether there's any of them still alive. If non-whites come under fire, it is mostly because they support liberals or because liberals support them. Well, that's true. Not for their existential condition per se, or so it seems for the most part. Now, when I talked to blacks in the past on the radio and so forth, I got along fine because I said you deserve to be separate, have your own country, your own police, your own politicians, if you can manage them. I don't want to rule over you at all. I don't want to be around you. I'm sorry. I want to be around my people. The self-presentation of Coulter, like recent white supremacists who have preceded her, is as the voice of reason. Yeah. Resolutely opposed to the liberty-destroying mob, namely modern constitutional-hating liberals. Well, there are parts of the Constitution that should be hated. I don't think it means anything anymore anyhow, because they use it against us all the time. These federal judges, they have a one way of thinking. Interestingly, she presents conservatives as skeptical interrogators of their own leaders. Well, not of their own, their Republican leaders. They go along lockstep with them. The messianic quest of liberals manifested through figures like Obama and the Clintons. Well, they're just rats. I mean, you know, what do you say about those two? At least the Republicans put on a happy face. They put on a nice face. Republican women are better looking, and that's about it. But other than that, they're no different than Obama and the Clintons. Her primary argument seems to be that it is liberals who unfairly demonize conservatives. Well, I demonize a hell of a lot of conservatives because I don't call them conservatives. If they're not out conserving the race, they're not any good to me. I don't give a shit about them. All their other issues they can throw out the window, for the most part. And she even takes on repeatedly the obsessive liberals' preoccupation with conspiracy theories. Well, everybody's got a conspiracy theory. I suggest that a figure like Coulter is able to turn liberal rationality on its head, because there is no such thing as liberal rationality to contend with anymore. Otherwise, she would be a universal figure of fun, defeat, and discredit. She blames liberals for dehumanizing white working-class voters. Well, they do, and suggest that conservatives retain skepticism toward the government, what they tell them. Well, dehumanizing, who could do more dehumanizing than Hillary Clinton during that election? I mean, she was talking down to every working person, even if they were liberals. Really. She hates the working class, the real working class. because she don't know what it is to be in the working class. Okay. She blames liberals for dehumanizing white working class voters, which they do, and suggests that conservatives retain skepticism towards the government that tells them, yeah, if they fell, for example, for the weapons of mass destruction claim about Iraq, well, liberals did too. They all did. And conservatives eventually came out of their stupor, and she expresses the familiar white supremacist concern about the elites. Well, she caters to the elites. Give me a break. Undertaking. You know, I was asked to speak on university campuses, and I did early on, but then they said, oh, you're going to cause too much violence, so we can't have you. That's what they did to Ann Coulter. Well, why didn't they just come at us and try to kill us? We were ready to go. I mean, we may not have won, but I'm willing to put my life on the line to go speak on a campus. But she wasn't, not really. To reshape mass mentality, as with Hillary Clinton's famous politics of the meaning speech during her husband's first term, the fatal illness bequeathed by the French Revolution that all supremacists seem to worry about. Huh. Well, this is a long damn article, and it goes on quite a bit longer, but that's all I have time for today, and I hope you got something out of it. The one thing you need to get out of it is don't trust anybody in power. Power corrupts. It does. Power corrupts. But democracy? Bullshit. The worst form of government. See you tomorrow. Tears Day.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.